You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shovik Das.
I'm Leslie DeMonte.
And I'm Deepthi Ahuja. You're listening to Mint Etc.,
a podcast where we will talk about important developments in technology
and how they will
transform our lives,
work and play
as we know it.
This episode is brought to you by Abbott. We all probably know someone who's living with diabetes, whether it's a family member, a co-worker, a friend. Diabetes is a chronic and complex condition that affects millions of people worldwide. Managing it on a daily basis can be a bit challenging. This makes it more important for us to raise awareness about the condition, not just for those who are living with it and their families, but also for the communities at large. Hi, I'm Deepthi Ahuja, your host on Mint Etc. And today we have with us an esteemed speaker and medical expert. Professor Shashank R. Joshi is a Padma Shri awardee. He's the president of Indian Academy of Diabetes and he's also a consultant endocrinologist at Leelavati Hospital and Joshi Clinic. Together, we will uncover India's diabetes status, the risk factors that have contributed to this trend, how diabetes is linked with other chronic conditions like heart diseases, and how it can be managed. We will discuss it all, both in terms of the advanced technologies and tools available today and how people can make lifestyle changes to keep their diabetes in check. Welcome, Professor Shashank. How are you?
I'm good. Namaste.
Namaste. So, Professor Shashank, just to start off, you know, India's diabetes disease burden is rising at an alarming rate. Could you elaborate on how it's affecting the country's population and the risk factors that have contributed to this trend?
So, Deepthi ji, we have 1.4 billion people living in India out of the 8 billion people living on planet Earth. And we are one of the largest populations on planet Earth. And the ICMR in-depth survey, which I was a part of, reveals that almost 101 million people are living currently with diabetes.
Yes.
136 million people are living with pre-diabetes. So the disease burden is pretty large.
Yeah.
And what is happening is probably around 10 to 12% of our population, whether it is urban or rural India, are people living with diabetes. So this is exploding. Hmm. And the reason it is exploding is because of two major reasons. One is, we are a growing economy. We are the fifth largest world's economy, slated to be number four in the world, three, two. So when there is progress, there is affluence. When there is affluence, there is a change in the social status. And when there is a change in social status, we become less and less active. So we become sedentary. Sust and mast. Okay. And the second thing is, we are eating too much.
Hmm.
We are eating out. We are eating too much of carbs, too much of ultra-processed food, too much of food in general. So we're eating too much and we are sitting and we are becoming sedentary. They say sitting is the next smoking.
Hmm.
Okay. And in all that, Indians have some unique features. Like we have a special laziness gene. Okay. We have a special gene of giving and taking stress. So all these factors compounded are leading to an explosion of non-communicable diseases, whether it's type 2 diabetes or whether it is blood pressure or heart disease or the dyslipidemia. So there is a common soil because people in India are vulnerable to develop diabetes. There is a familial tendency.
Right.
For example, Deepthi ji, if your father and mother both have diabetes, your likelihood of getting diabetes is 90%.
True.
If either parent is diabetic, it is 70%. If one relative is diabetic, it is probably 40%. Or if your waist circumference, if you are a female, it's more than 80 centimeters. Or for a man, if it is more than 90 centimeters, it is called abdominal obesity. And that is driving the entire NCD spectrum of blood pressure, heart disease, type 2 diabetes and cholesterol. And that is propelling this whole real large numbers we are seeing in our population. So it is a disease of affluence, it's a disease of inactivity, and it's a disease of stress. And unfortunately, we are in a perfect storm, and which is why we are seeing these high numbers. But remember, the incidence is not going up. The prevalence is going up because we are recognizing it better. Because now we have more awareness, and I'm grateful to you that you are our ambassador of diabetes education today. And we thank you, Deepti Ahuja ji, for being an educator.
Thank you.
Because I used to be the past president of the International Diabetes Federation. And you are our Blue Circle ambassador, promoting awareness of the disease to people at large. And you are doing a yeoman's service, so we are grateful to you. And it's important that when there is more awareness, there is more recognition, more people go and check their sugars, then they know they have a disease. Because diabetes is an asymptomatic disease. And therefore, in the past, maybe 20, 30 years back, people found out they have diabetes only when they got a complication. For example, when they got a heart attack, or when they went for an operation, or when they had to go for a dialysis, then they found out that they had that. Today, because of awareness done by Deepti ji, people like you, who are global awareness ambassadors of diabetes, we are able to recognize it early. And then we can actually modulate lifestyle changes and even look at remission of type 2 diabetes.
Makes sense. Professor Shashank, with advancing technologies and tools, do you think managing diabetes is becoming simpler for people living with this condition?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You know, yes is because when we know too much, we create a clutter, we create confusion, and we create anxiety. No, because you remember that some people will just be dismissive and not ignore and become reckless. So we have to have a golden mean. Today, technology has advanced tremendously. In the good old days, when we used to do a sugar test in the urine and the blood. Then we used to do a 3-month average test. And we used to do the sugar test before fasting and 2 hours after meals or after food. Then came the self-monitoring of blood glucose, which you should check it by a glucose testing machine. And now we have the patches called the ambulatory glucose profile patches, where we can actually measure glucose 24/7 over 14 days. We can actually map if I eat too much, if I have a rasgulla or a gulab jam, how much my sugar will go up. Okay, if I do a jog, okay, how much my sugar will go up. If I don't sleep at all, eat too much and are very stressed out, how much my sugar will go up or go down. So we are actually able to, these are empowerment tools, because it's like driving a car. Imagine you are driving a car where you don't know the speed. So these glucose monitoring tools like CGM are actually allowing us to know what is my glucose. Is it in range? Is it out of range? I know if it is, say, 120, I know it is in range. If it is below 70, I know it is low. If it is, say, about 200, I know it is out of range and it is high. So I know, as a person living with diabetes, that this is my glucose and I am in range or I am out of range. And then with my healthcare provider, whether it is a nurse, an educator or a doctor, I can take action like a physical activity or a food change or a medicine change or an insulin change. So the new technological tools of measurement allow me or empower a person living with diabetes to handle his glucose better with the help of his team of caregivers.
Makes sense. So you mentioned technology. How is continuous glucose monitoring help manage diabetes?
So that's a great question. See, continuous glucose monitoring is a new empowerment tool. You know, it's like a patch which is attached here, and we get a ambulatory glucose profile. It's like, you know, many a times we attach ECG to the heart and measure it 24 hours, you know, or a blood pressure machine, we measure it 24 hours. So it's like a halter. And this is like a diabetes halter for a good 14 days. And it measures it. So it's like, as I told you, driving a car, we know the speed of the car. And we know when the glucose is low, is it time below range? When the glucose is high, is it time above range? Or is the time in range, the glucose in range? So it allows us to manage diabetes better. And we use this for various applications. For example, we are doing research with IIT Madras Research Park. We have a twin app, and we are trying to get diabetes remission. We are doing a randomized controlled trial on that. So, you know, in people living with type 2 diabetes, not type 1, they actually can, in their first decade of their life, undergo remission. That means they can actually be off medications if we use a CGM-like technology. So it's actually a game changer because it allows you lifestyle corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to give generic advices.
Right.
The CGM actually allows us to do precision medicine. It can tell for Dipti ji, she loves her pakodas. And the pakodas increase the glucose to 220. And if she eats less, or if she has it by mistake, but she does a brisk walk of 10 minutes after that, the glucose comes down to, say, 160. That's a nudge. That's a correction point. It allows us, the technology of CGM allows us to make a change for well-being of a person living with diabetes to get you better health outcomes.
And
we have systematically and scientifically published data, both in real-world space and in the randomized control space, both in disease remission, disease prevention, and disease care. So clearly, this continuous glucose monitoring technology is a very good tool for control, management, remission, as well as prevention.
Lovely.
And allows you to give you a personalized prescription for that given person. Because remember, human beings are different. And each human being on different days is different. For example, on weekend, our food pattern is different. Our physical activity is different. On weekday, it is different. If you are under stress, it is different. If you are not under stress and you are happy, you are different. And you know, Indians love to celebrate. And all our celebrations are linked to food. And activity has come down, but food has gone up. And these foods are high carbohydrate bombs. So, you know, we need to know how much the sugar went up. So, if the CGM is there, it allows us to actually map it better and then manage it better. So, I think I would call it, it's a good management tool and a correction tool.
Dr. Shashank, beyond glucose monitoring, what are the other steps that people can take, people living with diabetes can take to address this lifestyle condition?
So people living with diabetes, first of all, should live happily with diabetes and should not be under stress. And they should look at health outcomes. They should look at happiness outcomes and health outcomes. And in the health outcomes, I have a simple formula of A, B, C, D, E, F. A for A1C, 3 months average sugar, try to keep it below 7%. B is for blood pressure, keep it below 130. C is for cholesterol, keep the LDL cholesterol below 70. D is for diet, eat less, eat slowly, eat on time and eat right. Okay?
Yeah.
E is for exercise. At least do 8,000-10,000 steps. If you can't do it, do a 5-minute brisk walk every hour. Okay. Sleep for at least 7 hours. Smile. Don't get addicted to tobacco or alcohol or other addictions. Okay. And finally, F is the feet. Keep checking your feet. And if you are able to do this A, B, C, D, E, F mantra, person living with diabetes and keep stay connected with the medical ecosystem, you can actually live happily with diabetes and live longer than what you can predict. Because remember, a well-controlled diabetes lives long and stays complication-free. See, the real burden of the disease, which cripples people with diabetes and creates a scare around diabetes, a fear around diabetes, is actually the complication of diabetes, like heart disease, kidney disease, retinal disease, stroke, you know, and so on and so forth. And we need to recognize that we need to teach people, empower people so that they can live happily and healthily and they can manage their diabetes better so that they can be complication free.
Right, right. Such a simple and a lovely formula. People can easily memorize it and keep a check on their diabetes with it. Could you also discuss the link between diabetes and other comorbid conditions, like you mentioned, heart disease? Also tell us how people can take steps to protect themselves first from such complications.
Again, I congratulate you, Dipti ji, for the awareness module which you are running. So, two things. Diabetes affects the heart. And people are scared because, you know, when there's a heart attack, you know. So every year, we recommend every person living with diabetes to go and get an ECG done or a stress test done and see a medical or a heart specialist.
Right.
Okay. Second is, We also recommend every year a person living with diabetes to go and check with the eye doctor, not an optician, and check the retina, because this is diabetic retina.
Yeah.
And every 3 months, measure glucose values and screen them for complications. For example, measure the leak of albumin in the urine. It's called urine for microalbumin. Or measure the eGFR, because you know that whether the kidney is being allowed to be handled properly or not. Because as I told you, that there are microvascular complications, small vessel complications of diabetes, retinopathy, the retina of the eye, the neuropathy, the nerve, the tingling numbness which you get, and of course, the nephropathy, the kidney complications, where we see the leak of albumin or protein in the urine. This can be measured. Similarly, the large vessels, it could be the brain stroke, it could be the heart attack, it could be the limb stroke, where you may have to amputate the limb, or it could be as simple as blood pressure.
Right.
So diabetes has these vascular complications. Also, people living with diabetes should take off their hand and feet, their nails and skins better, because they are more vulnerable to get fungal infections. Their immunity comes down. So they need to be empowered. So it's important that we recognize these comorbidities. Right. But this is physical. But diabetes itself allows a restrictive environment.
Right.
I always tell people living with diabetes to smile and be happy, but not be reckless and negative. Because these are two difficult things. We all love to cheat. And actually it goes up when you say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. If I say something to anyone that don't do this, you know, there are people with diabetes who in their life never had a rasgulla. When they found out that they had diabetes, then they said that, look, doc, you told us and your dietitian told us don't have rasgulla. First thing I did is I went and said, one last time I'm going to have a rasgulla. I want to see how it tastes.
Yeah.
So this type of a behavior needs change. So mental health is very important in a person living with diabetes, because the distress of diabetes is very important. And finally, in all this ecosystem, we must measure it with technology. Use technology to your advantage. If you have a tool like a patch, and you know, India is a unique country. We have fasting and feasting seasons. For example, now Lent fasting has started. Yeah. You know, we'll have Ramadan fasting coming up. We have Hindu religious feastings like Ekadashi is coming up. So, you know, if somebody is living with diabetes, they feel restricted. How will I fast? How will I feast? You know, there's a wedding season happening. So, you know, when you have tools to measure when the sugar goes up, when the sugar goes down, I need to do exercise, then, you know, we are able to handle diabetes better. So I think a lot is needed in the diabetes world on education, on motivation. And I think that is the key for success in people living with diabetes.
So glad that you mentioned mental health, that you mentioned that, you know, this, you introduced the idea of discipline, of being very, very self-aware of what we are consuming, what we are putting into our bodies. It just sounds like our body is like a machine. And if it's well oiled, you know, it'll serve us for a longer period of time. Thank you so much, Professor Shashank, for such lovely insights.
Thank you, Deepthi ji. Thank you so much. And my last tip for everybody is do a digital detox. You know, half an hour before going to sleep, half an hour after getting up. You know, don't see your mobile phone screen, television, or your computer screen. So do a digital detox. It's called dopamine fasting. Eat less, eat slowly, eat right, walk more or do some yoga. Okay. And stay happy and smile. So, you know, thank you so much. And I'm grateful to you for doing this wonderful diabetes educational exercise. Thank you.
So folks, that's it for this episode. You are listening to Mint Etc. You can reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions. Our handles are in the description.
This episode was produced by me, Deepthi Ahuja. It was edited by Amrinder Singh. Catch you next week.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.